This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
To the Row One Seat One podcast. This is Ben, aka Boston Yuga. I have had one hell of a weekend, and in a week I'm gonna have one hell of a weekend as well. First I'll talk about my last weekend, and I couldn't have a better guest on to talk about it because he made the 1,350-mile drive. One of the very few people who made the drive along with me. Well, he didn't drive with me, but he made the loop with me as well. I have Chattanooga's very own Jaden Newman.
What up, El Numero Uno Ichiban Number One?
Hey, buddy. What's up? I strategically had had Jaden on now because Scenic City Invitational and Crux and Southern Underground Pro are coming up the first weekend in August, which is rapidly approaching, and Jaden Newman is a star of that weekend. But first, let's a little bit talk about the weekend that just passed, because y'all want to talk wrestling road trips and y'all want to talk about making towns. Man, Jaden and I made some towns this past weekend, didn't we, buddy?
My God, 26 hours total for me. It was ridiculous.
I did about the same. I mapped it out. I did 1,350 miles on my car.
Jesus.
It was I love my baby. My baby's hurting right now. She didn't want to go to Walmart today. That's all I'm saying.
My God. Well, she needs some time to rest, too.
She needs some time to rest. I'm very glad that the Scenic City is in Chattanooga, because if it was very far away, that would just be a long, long trip coming up. But me and you and only a few other people did the loop of St. Louis Anarchy and Wombat Wrestling and Game Changer Wrestling. Wombat Wrestling was in Tullahoma, Tennessee. God bless it. And Game Changer Wrestling was in Nashville, and that was a Friday, Saturday, Sunday loop. And how was your weekend, Jaden?
It was a lot of fun. That drive to St. Louis, we ended up waking up at I think about 4 o'clock, so we were way early. Like, I was thinking that we had to go through St. Louis and all that. No, not even close. Alton, Illinois.
Yeah.
So we get there before even the people that own the venue get there, and like. They like look at us and they like knock on our window. They're like, y'all want to come inside? We're like, well, we would love to, because we've been sitting here for like an hour. So they let us in. We're there before anyone else. And like, it kind of gave me a chance to go into the Spalding Hall and like just scout it, because the ring was already set up. So to be able to like go into that venue, like,
such a cool venue, by the way, like custom made, custom designed for wrestling. Could not have a better wrestling venue. I did just the opposite. I got done with my work at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon and said, man, it's about 7 hours till bell time. It's about 7 hours on my GPS to make it to St. Louis. What the fuck? I'm going to drive. And I just drove like a bat out of hell, because I wanted to see you make your debut in St. Louis Anarchy. And I had about 10 friends in St. Louis who've been egging me on to come. And I'm a crazy manic person, so I decided to drive to St. Louis on a whim.
I got so pumped when I saw you. I said, holy shit, Ben's here. And like, I knew the night before you had talked about it. You're like, man, I really wish we could, like, I could go. I was like, oh, you know, it'll be live streamed, whatever. And fuck, you showed up. I was like, damn, Ben's a trooper.
I'm not a smart person, and I didn't pay for it Saturday. But I paid for it Sunday, like Saturday, because I didn't sleep because I had Ava all day Saturday.
Yeah.
So like I was on zero sleep, because I got home in the morning and then like I picked up my daughter in the morning. So just like sleep was not a thing. And I just sustained on caffeine all day Saturday. And then Sunday I sustained, like, I slept Saturday night and I got about 6 hours of sleep. But my body tasted that sleep and was just like, we want more.
God bless.
And just like, what do you mean we just can't sleep for like 10 more hours? Like this can't be a thing. So like I think the worst thing I possibly could have done was give my body about 6 hours of sleep, because then like Sunday I was just a freaking zombie because I had like tasted the sweet nectar of sleep and I couldn't give myself more of it. So yeah, St. Louis Anarchy, you wrestled on the show and just really cool venue, really, really well-informed crowd, like just a smart crowd, like, but not smart, like snarky smart, like cheered the baby faces, booed the heels, like knew their storylines, knew the people they were rooting for, cheered on their homegrown people, gave you one hell of a reception.
They were very welcoming and that shocked me. They're definitely a crowd I feel that'll let you know if they don't like what they're seeing. So I was happy that they didn't, you know, boo me out of the building or tell me, like, my shit stank. So instead, I was given a reception of please come back. And that was very humbling for me, considering, like, the first time I think I had ever seen Anarchy was from the Wrestling Road Diaries Part 3 with Kikutaru, Colt Cabana, and Grado, and seeing that venue and thinking to myself, like, man, like, that place is cool, like, and looking at like a lot of the venues they went to and thinking I would love to wrestle there, to be able to actually get to wrestle in one of the venues that like I saw and was like, man, I want to wrestle there, was really, really cool.
As a wrestler, when you're going into an entirely new venue, an entirely new part of the country, really, because you hadn't been anywhere really near there, when you get a please come back chant, I mean, is there anything like that?
Not like, there's nothing that compares. It makes the long drive totally worth it. Like, I could get in a car and I could go wrestle somewhere and like I can have a good match and I can get like the, oh yay, like that was cool, like, but a please come back chant makes you feel some type of way, and it really makes you feel more intimate with the setting and with the location and with the people.
Yeah, that match was real good. You worked Cody Lane, who was a local guy there too, right?
I think so. Yeah. I know Cody originally. Apparently, I've crossed paths with Cody like before, but like I totally forgot. Like whenever I wrote down Reality of Wrestling, I met him. But that's crazy to me. But yeah, I think he's a local guy now.
Yeah. So you went against a guy the crowd knew, and you worked a heck of a match, and you got a please come back chant. And you, even though you didn't win, I mean, that was, I was so proud. I was proud, Papa, right there. I was so happy. I was so absolutely happy. They gave you your moment in the ring. It was fantastic. And the card itself was real good too. Like, it was, I at no point whatsoever regretted 14 hours of driving in an 18 hour span. They had a tag match between the Besties in the World and the Work Horsemen, which
it was a banger.
Absolute banger. Need to go out of your way to see. The Work Horsemen might be the best independent tag team in the world right now. Would you agree? Okay. Yeah.
Without a doubt.
They're just absolutely killing it every time they show up. And they're both going to be on SCI, and I can't like wait for what they're going to bring, even though they're both going to be in singles. They're at the top of the heap right now. Those two dudes, James Drake and Anthony Henry, are just working at a level that no one else is working at right now, especially tag team wrestling.
And they're also coming off that big Evolve show that just happened. I think it was Evolve 131, if I'm correct.
The televised one on WWE Network.
Yeah.
Yeah. They both had singles matches there. Yeah. And James Drake was in the championship match.
Yeah, and was announced by Paul Heyman.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah, that guy deserves everything he gets too.
Absolutely.
So those are great matches. The other thing that I loved about St. Louis Anarchy was that the most over stars they had were their homegrown guys.
Yeah, me too. I think, like, whenever I went there, I knew there were two matches I wanted to watch. Sadly, the main event wasn't one of them because I had to leave early so that way I would be able to make it back in time for Tullahoma. But I did get to watch a little bit of Gary J versus Jigsaw, and that was really cool because to me, you have your four pillars of St. Louis Anarchy, and with one of them being Jeremy Wyatt, the other one being Jake Parnell, and the other one being Gary J. I've been a huge Gary J fan for a long time, so I always love getting to watch him wrestle. And that match was just a fucking banger.
That dude came out and the pop that Gary J gets in St. Louis, you can watch it on TV, but there's nothing like being there in the crowd when Gary J comes out, and Jake Parnell is as well.
It doesn't do it justice.
It doesn't do it justice at all. Those guys in St. Louis, I mean, they could run for mayor. They could absolutely run for mayor. I mean, they own that city. They own that city. So it was a hell of a time in Anarchy. Anything else you want to say about Anarchy before we move on?
What was that? I'm sorry.
Anything else you want to say about Anarchy before we move on?
I really had a good time, and I can't wait to come back. It was, like I said, it was extremely humbling to be able to wrestle in a venue that I had seen and wanted to wrestle in, and it was extremely cool to go there and just click with those people. And plus, the pizza was fucking bomb.
Unbelievable pizza. Unbelievable pizza. And I'm not even a pizza guy. Unbelievable pizza. And the beer was like $6 for a pitcher. I know you're not a beer guy, but yeah, just trust me. That's a good price.
Got you. I'll trust your word.
Trust my judgment there. Trust me. Yeah. Good pizza and beer. Well done there. Well done. And then the next day was Wombat. Did you... Wombat Wrestling, put on by... Now we can reveal it. GCW put this show on. They didn't really tell anyone what it was about. Did you know what the hell was happening before you showed up to work on the show?
Fuck no. I legit showed up, and I was like, this is going to be a fucking day. Because I showed up for the Joey Janela seminar first off, and that itself would be everything you thought it was. And I'm not saying that in a negative way. It's fucking Joey Janela. Like, I heard all the shit talk, and I loved it. And I definitely learned a lot from it. Like, my social media presence is about to get a fuck ton better. But, because, dude, he's a king of social media. But the show itself was absolutely fucking ridiculous.
It was an 84 Memphis taping.
Yes.
Basically in 2019. Yeah. And I say that for those of you who haven't seen the Wombat Wrestling show, you need to go back and see it, because literally it was, they found the sweatiest old barn they could possibly find that holds about 100 people in Tullahoma, Tennessee, which is a town transported back to 1957, where half the crowd was us wrestling doofus hipsters, and the other half of the crowd was people from Tullahoma, Tennessee, who, like, probably use the pejorative term for homosexuals that begins with an F, and also use the N-word frequently. And half the crowd was those people, half the crowd was us people who were, like, you know, for lack of a better term, more woke. And neither of the twain shall meet. And so those two groups of people are in a sweaty barn, and they have an 84 Memphis taping there. And, like, a third of the wrestlers are these homegrown, I don't even know what SWF stands for, but they're basically the homegrown guys who wrestle in that barn every single week.
Yeah. And
they're not good at the wrestling, but they try real hard, and they like to bleed a lot. So they're, like, peppering these dudes in with, like, GCW guys who are real fucking good at wrestling, and, like, guys like you who are, like, real fucking good at wrestling, and, like, established indie guys. And then there's Tony Deppen versus a guy named Mr. Walk It Out, who just is a dude who looks like, for lack of a better term, a drug dealer. And then there's these two guys who just had a bloody ladder match who looked like drug dealers. And they just had the bloodiest ladder match you could possibly find, and looked like they were fighting over the last bit of meth. I'm sorry. It's fucking true.
Look, the first thing that got me pumped up whenever I was watching that ladder match was the fact that one of them came out to Disturbed, and the other one came out to Godsmack.
Okay, what was the first spot in that match, by the way? Do you remember?
Fuck, I don't even remember. All I know was, you want to see some blood? And I went, fuck yes, I do.
Dude in black wife beater took out a switchblade and started stabbing dude in white wife beater in the head.
No shit, that's what happened?
That's what happened. Took out a switchblade from his pocket, a black switchblade, because it was right in front of me, and started cutting up the other dude with a fucking switchblade, and just started cutting him open like a fucking Thanksgiving turkey.
I fucking love professional
with a
wrestling.
Switchblade.
I love it.
And they were, they bled like stuck pigs. And there were these matches, but then like mixed in between was like 84 Memphis squash matches. Like in the first 45 minutes of that show, there were 10 matches and 5 promos.
Yeah.
I mean, legit. Like you had a squash match with Jimmy Lloyd where you actually got some shit in, but then Jimmy Lloyd squashed you, which that's fine.
No, yeah.
That's fine.
I mean, yeah. Get your name out there. Table for me and Jimmy to work another time, yeah. And honestly, I can't wait fucking for it.
Get your name out there, whatever. They had a lot of other local, you know, higher level indie guys work kind of squashy type matches, like Cabana Man Dan worked Nick Gage. And it was a squash match, but Cabana Man Dan got some of his shit in. Cool.
And Cabana Man Dan is to say he fucking worked Nick Gage.
God bless it. God bless it, you know?
Yeah.
But then they had like, and then the second half of the match was kind of like longer matches, but it was matches like Doug Gilbert versus Mance Warner in like the most old school Southern match you ever seen in your life. Or like Tony Deppen versus Mr. Walk It Out, and then Tony Deppen later came back against Bill Dundee. And Bill Dundee's 75.
Yes.
And Tony Deppen bumped around like a pinball for Bill Dundee and had a perfectly serviceable match with Bill Dundee, which involved a lot of punches to the face. And it was way better than had any right to be. And it fit perfectly in this show.
My favorite, and that's the thing that was with that show, and I don't think a lot of people got it. The first half of the show was setting up for, like, what you need to expect going into the second half. It was to set the table, so that way whenever you got to the tail end of it, you were in. It was like a secret joke, but by the end of it, you're in on the joke.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a joke. It was actually a fucking awesome event.
Yeah, completely. It was performance art. I mean, it really was.
Oh, absolutely. And I loved it. It was Southern wrestling at its finest.
Oh, it was the most Southern fucking thing ever.
Oh, God, it was just so good.
And the building was about 147 degrees.
Yeah, hot as hell. To the point
where it was 90 degrees outside, and we were, like, at intermission, we just stayed outside because it was way, way cooler outside than inside. And it was just like, it was everything you expected out of Southern wrestling. And like, you know, wooden barricades and like to the point where like they had a ladder, but it was like a painter's ladder. Like not one of the ones with the two sides on it and the thing in the middle, but like one of the ones that like is just a straight up ladder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like shit like that. I mean just pure joy. Just pure joy.
My favorite fucking part of that ladder match. So, like, there were two things that really got me, or three things that really popped me during that whole show. One was whenever GQ couldn't, the guy in the black tank top, he couldn't get the ladder open because it wasn't like a regular ladder. It was one you had to fucking pull out. So, he can't open the damn thing, and Max Recon's over there having to wrestle the damn ladder. And it's fucking gold. Like, I'm horse laughing over there at the door. The second thing was the Love is Love chant for Effie and Jimmy. That really,
Effie and Jimmy are in front of these, like real Southern crowds here. And Effie and Jimmy are, like, basically making out with each other in the ring. It was amazing.
It was so good. And I love the fact that one person tried to say the F word, and then you just get, and then a fuck the bigot chant gets started. Yep. Oh, God. The joy in my heart. Like, it was so awesome. But then to top it off, my favorite fucking moment of the night is fucking Tony Deppen. As I'm peering through the curtain watching, Tony Deppen looks our way and he goes, "I'm gonna kill this motherfucker," or "I'm gonna kill this old motherfucker." And he runs and takes two fucking boots in the corner from Bill Dundee, and it's 1-2-3.
Yeah.
I fucking horse laughed. It was so fucking good.
It was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. It was just wrapped in a bow. Just a Southern wrestling show wrapped in a bow.
Yeah.
Oh, it was just so great. And it was only an hour. It was an hour and 20 minutes away. It was just a wonderful drive too.
Yeah.
And then the next day, GCW came to fucking Nashville.
That show is fucking nuts.
Yo, it was basically Sup with even more of my favorite workers.
Yes. Yes.
And a little crazier. I mean, a lot crazier. Because there was like a board of cans and a gusset door and like a million chairs broken and a million doors broken throughout the card and shit like that. And good amount of blood. So it was a good amount crazier. But it was also like, I mean, there was a Tony Depp and Rich Swann match and like Nick Gage was there. And, you know, Janela was doing crazy Janela things. And, like, so it was like you had stars.
Yeah.
But it was basically the vibe of a sub crowd was still there.
Oh, absolutely. That was the thing. Like, it was very much a sub vibe, but, like, with some added new faces and even some returning faces. It was great. Like, honestly, to me, it was great to see, it was great to see Kerry and Nick back there. It was great to see fucking AJ there. It was great to see Mance there again. Like, it was good for that to me because it was cool to have some of the original SUP guys back. It felt so fucking good. But another thing I loved about that card, one, I just want to say Trishy Smothers is a fucking national treasure.
Trishy Smothers cut a 20-minute promo.
Like, that was the fucking match. And I was like, man, I fucking love this. Like, nothing is going to be a Trishy Smothers match. Like, I got in the car because Cheyenne, who, if y'all don't know out there, is my girlfriend. She dropped me off because she didn't get a ticket in enough time and she went and hung out with her family while I was there. So I get in the car and she's like, well, how was it, babe? I said, well, baby, whenever we get home, we're going to watch a bunch of Trishy Smothers, and I'm about to introduce you to something.
It's so weird when, friggin', who did he wrestle? I'm drawing a blank here.
Oh, Nate Webb?
When Spider Nate Webb is in a wrestling match, and his intro is by far the second coolest intro of the match.
Yes.
Because Trishy Smothers had a 20-minute promo. We're not even cool. I don't even know cool is the word because Trishy Smothers had some language that I didn't necessarily appreciate. But the second most notable thing of the intros, we'll say that.
Yeah.
Like, because Trishy Smothers just went fucking off. Including trying to start an incest is best chant.
Dude, it was so good. In which I was one of the people chanting it because oh man, even if I don't believe in it, in that time and place, I was a damn firm believer.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, Trishy's. Do you realize we saw Bill Dundee and Trishy Smothers in the same weekend in 2019?
It's fucking wild. Wrestling is so fucking weird.
Wrestling's cool. Amazing. Wrestling is amazing. God bless the people at Game Changer Wrestling who brought us that absolute wildness.
Yeah, thank you, Brett Lauderdale.
You're a wonderful man. Drinks on me. I think Joey drank on me the whole week, too. All right. Well, we recapped the weekend. I'm going to do a little promo here, and then we're going to get to the career and life of Jaden Newman and the week that you have coming up. So over at the Place to Be Nation Pop Feed, the Sarcastic Four continue their look at 1971 with the second three-part episode of Marvel Age. On the ninth episode of Laughing Theater, Andy's joined by J.R. Arsenio D'Amato to do a live watch of the 2005 comedy 40-year-old version. On the 31st episode of Songs of Friends, Steve and Kelly. You know Steve and Kelly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they talk Gin Blossoms and DMX, as one does.
Jesus Christ.
The hard-traveling fanboys continue Spider-Man Month with a look at the 2002 Spider-Man movie. DC4U continues the celebration of Superman with a look back at the pilot episode of the TV show Lois and Clark. And pay tribute to the late Eddie Jones, who played Pa Kent. Pop Goes to the Movies with Andy and Mirandia continue discuss Toy Story 4 and Men in Black International. Glenn and Alana are back with a new spectacular review of Stranger Things Season 3. The Great Debate number 6 finds Andy joined by Nick Duke, Jordan Duncan, and Scott Criscolo. The Greatest Song of the 80s Tournament continues. There will be 6 posts today for Round 1. You can get in the action on Facebook by searching PTBN Greatest Song of the 80s Tournament and liking the page. On the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, I had 2 episodes last week with Dominic Guarini and Tony Deppen. On episode 130 of Main Event, Scott, Nate, and Steve are joined by Sheriff Pete Schermacher. You're going to see Pete next week. To talk New Japan, G1 Climax, AEW, Impact, Evolve, and much more. And Chris and Devin Hales are back to bring you a same-night review of Extreme Rules 2019. In the latest episode of PTBN Podcast, JT and Scott welcome Tim Slomka to the mothership as they talk the MSG house show of October 89. Don't miss the pilot episode, no ECW Focus Podcast. Extreme Three-Way Dance, where JT Rosero, Jennifer Smith, and John DeMonte review the concept of the show and what is to come. On PlaceToBeNation.com, PTBN's tribute to 94 is up and running with a brand new piece on Woodstock 94, as well as a piece where JT looks back at Bob Backlund challenging Bret Hart for the WWF title on Superstars. Also, Excellent Network Adventure Team is back with a look at Black Saturday from 84. Check out our social media pages and message board at bigelow34.proboards.com for information on joining our GWE pay-per-view and TV match ever project. Get in the conversation today and start researching your list. All right, Jaden Newman. You've had quite the career, even though you just turned 21. You started when?
I started when I was 14 years old.
Dear Lord. What goes through the mind of a 14-year-old that says, yeah, this is what I want to do?
Not a fuck ton whenever this is all you wanted to do. Hopes, dreams, everything that I wanted to get out of professional wrestling. I had so much that I wanted to do, and like it was so cool to be able to finally get to step in a ring and just train. Like it was like one step closer to like this big, huge dream that I get to live now, luckily. And it was a lot, because you got to think, like, at this point, I'm 14, I'm going into high school my freshman year, which is honestly the most, like, critical of your high school years, I would think, because, like, you're still growing, you're going through puberty, you're trying to understand yourself. But I think at that point, I had a pretty good idea of who I was and who I wanted to be.
Sounds wildly irresponsible to actually, like, take the money of a 14-year-old and train them, by the way.
Are we going to get into that yet?
Shoot, brother, shoot.
Oh, my God. So, okay, for those that don't know, I was originally trained by the Nature Boy, Paul Lee. So,
go for it, brother.
So, with that, I trained under him, and I'm not gonna fully shit on him. I will gladly let anyone else, but I will definitely not interrupt. But basically, I was trained there, and my grandfather wasted away a bunch of money, sadly. And the only thing I really walked away from Paul's learning, and this is like the one positive take I can make from it, was I learned how to bump. And I learned how to sell, because I got the shit beat out of me for real.
For how long, by the way?
A year.
Yeah, and he had you bump on what, by the way?
I would bump on concrete. I think we had to take at least like 5 or 10 bumps on concrete before we left training. And that was like going into the third week.
So he had you bumping on concrete for a year?
Yeah. Yeah.
Seems responsible. Had a 14-year-old bumping on concrete for a year.
But yeah.
Seems bad.
It was rough, and my body definitely feels shit now, but, I mean, like I said, we go through these things, and I'm, of course, going to make a positive thing out of it. Granted, everyone should know my opinion on Paul Lee, but I have my opinion on it, but I'm not going to sit there and be like, man, I wish that wouldn't have happened, because if it didn't happen, I wouldn't be where I am, and I wouldn't have met the people I have. I am a firm believer in, what would it be, the butterfly effect, I guess?
What, that, like, you know, little things happen and then they become big things? Is that what you're trying to say?
If I wouldn't have trained under Paul, I wouldn't have eventually gone on to meet Chip Hazard, and then I wouldn't have eventually went on to meet Kerry Awful, and, like, things like that. Like, okay, yeah. If I wouldn't have taken one step in my life to do towards something, I wouldn't have been able to do what I've done.
Let me fucking shoot here for a second. Go ahead. Paul Lee is known in this area as the fucking scum of the earth. He's tried to scoop a ton of people out of money. I was once at a funeral at one of his former workers, where everyone there is crying at the person, and Paul Lee gets up there and cuts a 20-minute promo about how great Paul Lee is.
Wow.
Oh yeah, I didn't tell you about that.
No.
Oh yeah, he cut a long promo about how wonderful Paul Lee is at a funeral of someone. Yeah, I talked about how great and wonderful Paul Lee is at a funeral. Now, I had already formed an opinion of Paul Lee at that, but I was seeing red at that point because he was one of my best friends. He was actually the guy who did my wedding. This guy died tragically in his 40s. Everyone there was shocked and miserable and in absolute horror as the horrible way this guy died. And Paul Lee gets up at the funeral and cuts a Paul Lee promo.
God bless.
Yeah.
Let me make it clear. Yeah. I can only imagine.
Yep, that's basically what he did.
Oh my God! So I have this new thing that I've been doing, and I do it on road trips and with my friends. So we take lyrics of songs and we sing the song as Paul Lee. it's fucking gold. We did one for Stan by Eminem, and it's fucking amazing.
You know, he's running for mayor. He like tricked up his car and he's running for mayor. He's going to get maybe 10% of the vote in Ringgold, Georgia, which is a backass part of the state too. He's running for mayor again. He tried to run a couple years ago, but they disallowed him from running because he actually didn't live there. So maybe he got a residence there now and actually he's trying to run again. He's not going to win.
Let me make it clear. I got to be a resident in Ringgold, Georgia.
He took out $1 million loan, he said in the paper, and he's trying to start a restaurant that's apparently just like Hooters, and that's gone apparently nowhere.
Is it Wooters?
Looters.
Hooters!
Oh, yeah. The Paul Lee Chronicles. I'm on a podcast here. I need to, whatever. I don't give a shit. Yeah, so you were trained by Paul Lee, and he taught you how to bump, and that's literally all he taught you, right?
Yeah.
How'd you get out of that fucking miasma there? Where'd you go from there?
Well, if you honestly want to know how I got out of that whole scenario, y'all can think. If y'all ever seen local Chattanooga wrestling, y'all probably heard the name Johnny Rock. If it wasn't for Johnny Rock, I wouldn't have gotten out of that situation. He was a guy that pretty much said, like, you need to go elsewhere because he's literally just going to keep taking your money and not ever let you see actual in-ring, like, you're just going to keep doing squats on the wall. You're just going to keep bumping on the floor. You're just going to keep being a bump bitch for everyone in the ring if you don't leave. And I don't want that for you because you have potential. And that was nice coming from Johnny at that time because I remember I would just leave training. I would be crying because I didn't, like, I thought I wasn't doing well enough. But then, like, I realized, like, I was just being done wrong. So once I left, I ended up finding Chip Hazard. And Chip is a local Chattanooga guy. He tags with Talon Williams, and they're one half, or they are the movement together. And I would go train in a church gymnasium, and I would do that, I think, Wednesdays or Thursdays every week. And whenever Chip said I was ready for my first match, I had my first match, which also, by the way, I should probably throw this in there. During this time, my grandfather, his name's Bud Higdon, or we like to call him Grandbud.
Grandbud.
Yeah, one of the best men alive. He had a plan to open up a wrestling show, and I had no idea of it. And the idea was for it to be a place for wrestlers that were not getting opportunities, whether it be in the area or elsewhere, to be able to hone their craft and have a home and be able to train. And, of course, a lot of it was made so that way I would be able to wrestle because nobody would probably book a 15-year-old at that time, and he wanted me to be able to get in my reps. So that was essentially how TWE was started, which is where, of course, I have spent a lot of my career.
God bless that man.
Oh, he's one of the best human beings alive, and the day he goes away, I'm going to be devastated, but until that day comes, I'm just going to keep on smiling. And even whenever he's gone, I'm going to keep on smiling.
And for the record, he's how old, and what is his coming out music, by the way?
I think he's 82, and he's coming out to fucking Let the Bodies Hit the Floor.
Yeah. Yep. 82-year-old man comes out of wrestling shows to Let the Bodies Hit the Floor. So just put that in your minds when you try to picture an 82-year-old man coming out to Let the Bodies Hit the Floor.
And his fucking Titantron is his head on the Godfather. It's fucking gold. And he requested that. The story of him requesting it's my fucking favorite, too. God, it's so good. He fucking... he walks up to a Skunk Rocker, or better known as Kyle Guthrie. He's our sound and tech guy. He walks up to him making videos, and he asks Grandpa, he's like, well, what do you want for your video? And he goes, I won't come out to let the bodies hit the floor. And Skunk just goes, well, okay. Well, what do you want your video to be? He's like, put my head on the Godfather. That's all he told him. And Skunk goes, well, what the fuck do I do with that? So he just did just that, and he shows Grandpa, and Grandpa goes, that's it, and just walks off.
Can we take a minute, by the way, to put over Skunk? Because Skunk has found his way in video production and has become one hell of a video editor, and the stuff he makes for TWE is fantastic.
It's fucking amazing. And I will honestly say, if it wasn't for him, TWE's production wouldn't be as good as it is. So I am extremely thankful for Skunk and all the work he puts in. And I really hope he hears this, because right now he's going through a pretty rough time. So I want Skunk to know he's appreciated.
I'm proud of him, because he's really seemed to find his way in doing that sort of stuff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So anyway, so Grandbud starts TWE, and you're kind of off to the races from there?
Yeah, pretty much. I wrestled there solid for a year. I think the first outside TWE booking I ever took was, I could probably go look at the flyer in my room right now. It was the Pro Wrestling Rossville. It was a show that Empire had put on, but it was a benefit for the Rossville Middle School football team, I'm pretty sure. So like I was on there with like guys like Joey, like Baby Joey Lynch, Baby Matt Lynch, Tank's old ass. just so many other people that were there. Ace Rockwell, Sean Timpers, which was cool because that was like my first time like being around like those guys that I used to go watch wrestle at my middle school, Sunny Daisy Middle School. So that was like my first outside show, and it was like Rossville, Georgia. So it was I was thinking it was big shit. But for the most part, I was with TWE.
So at what point do you decide to, for lack of a better term, decide to stop becoming a, I don't even want to say 40-miler, decide to become a 10-miler?
Yeah. that's what it was.
Honestly.
Well, it wasn't that I wanted to be one. It was never my goal, but I was kind of at a handicap, per se, because I was putting so much work into professional wrestling, and this is like, I hope like some like teenager hears this or something that needs to hear it. Always pay attention in school and do your work, and don't be a dipshit. Simple as that. Don't be a dipshit, because I was dumb in the aspect of I put all my focus into professional wrestling and becoming better at my craft there than I did actually working in school, to the point to where I was a freshman for 4 years straight. And eventually once we got, and it wasn't because I was stupid. It was just, I never showed up and I never did my work whenever I was there. Like I was just so intent. I didn't do my work. It was just my work backed up. So I get to my senior year, and they're like, you know, you're not going to graduate your class, right? Like, you're going to be here for however long. I went, all right, we'll see about that. So in 1 year, my senior year, I get all my credits to graduate, and I graduate with my class of 2016.
Cool.
Yeah. And because I put all my focus and time into wrestling and was never at school, I got truancy, and I was not able to get my license until I was 18. So those were a few of the handicaps I had, but once I was able to get what I needed, I did it. And even before then, I was hopping in cars because I wanted to go out there and see the world of professional wrestling. Like, I did. It was just that in certain situations, and even being that young, it was hard to, knowing that I had school on a Monday.
So where's your first break out of the 423 area code?
My first break outside of Chattanooga was Mount Airy, North Carolina. I wrestled for the AIWF Mid-Atlantic promotion, and I was in my first Crazy Eight, which is a cruiserweight tournament. And I was in there with some pretty good names, too. Shinron, who has wrestled for Chikara, done Impact. There are a few other names in there. Tracer X, who would end up going on to be like doing really amazing stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, I was in there with some good guys from the Carolinas, and, like, you don't even think about it until, like, now. It's just like, wow, like, I was really, like, in a good situation. But Yeah, that was my first, like, really long road trip out of town. And I was, like, 16.
So you decide to, at some point, you decide to kind of further your training. Are you training this whole time, or are you kind of furthering your training? Because I know you kind of hit a point where you kind of said, okay, I need to be retrained a little bit here.
Yeah, so I was always training. Like, it was every week I was training. It wasn't like I just, like, was like, I'm a wrestler, I have to stop. Like, no, like, no matter what, I knew I could always be better. Granted, the people I was training with pretty much did the same thing, so it kind of stifled me for a little while, and I couldn't learn as much as I should have been learning. But yes, I ended up getting retrained, and of course, for most of y'all listening, y'all know how this goes. I then met Carrie Offal, and from there on, I've been a Crux wrestling child ever since.
Because I've talked to a lot of wrestlers, and they say, I hit a certain point in my career where I wasn't wrestling people who were better than me. I need to go out and wrestle people who are better than me. At what point did you hit that point where I said, I'm only going to wrestle people who are better than me?
I hit that in about, I'd say, early 2016, late 2015, whenever I was wrestling guys like Fred Yehi all the time.
Sure.
Like, me and Fred, like, had, like, a rivalry, like, that lasted, like, at least 3 months. And we were taking it pretty much everywhere in Georgia and around Chattanooga. Like, wrestling him really made me realize, like, okay, I could actually do something with this. And same with wrestling Colby Carino, who's one of my really close friends now, luckily. Wrestling guys like that really pushed me. And even another thing that made me realize, like, that I could probably do a lot with wrestling was my first seminar, whenever I went to train under Les Thatcher for a day.
Yeah, you're a big seminar guy. Whenever I talk to you, you really, really preach the gospel of going to seminars. What do you get out of seminars? What is your thing with seminars? Because you, more so than most, try to go to every seminar under the sun.
I like that you asked me that, because I actually was having this talk with somebody the other day. Like, they asked me, they're like, Jaden, like, why do you go to all these seminars? Like, you're already good. I'm like, well, that's the thing. I don't want to just be good. I want to be great. Now, being selective about your seminars, absolutely. Like, I've had plenty of shit seminar experiences. Don't get me wrong. Like, I went to a Robbie E seminar, for Christ's sakes, and it was the drizzling dog shit. fuck him. This is my second time burying Robbie E today. Fuck yeah. Seminars to me, if you view them in the correct manner, are not only a way to, like, learn and grow in your performance, but it's also a way to network and make connections with, say, promoters or other wrestlers that have connections to promoters, other states, opportunities. Like, for instance, one that's talked about a lot by Carrie is the Mike Quackenbush seminar I attended earlier in January. That's how I was chosen to be in the Young Lions Cup. He had messaged Carrie and said, tell me more about Jaden. And Carrie told him a little bit of my story, and he said, I want him for Young Lions. Like, that's my pick to put in there. And that is one of the reasons I tell people all the time, I'm like, you never know what you're getting into when you do a seminar, because you don't know what the person's intention is, especially if it's somebody that's maybe still contracted by WWE, or maybe they're contracted now by the new company, AEW, Chikara, bigger promotions like that. During the Joey Janela seminar, dude, Brett Lauderdale was watching. Like, that's the promoter of GCW. Like, why wouldn't you want to be seen by him?
And that's the one thing I love about you, and we've ridden in cars a bunch, and we've talked for hours on end, your eagerness and your desire to learn, and that's something I hope you always keep.
Oh, dude, it's not going to go away at all. Like, the day I feel like I can't learn anything, like, I might as well just hang it up.
So, speaking of learning, you meet, fast-forwarding a good bit, but you meet Carrie Offal, your new dad. You're training with Carrie Offal now. You train with Carrie Offal for the better part of the last year or two or so.
Yeah.
Those who don't know Carrie Offal or haven't trained with Carrie Offal, take us into the world of training with Carrie Offal.
Well, some of y'all may have a tendency to know that Kerry can be a bit passionate about professional wrestling, which is where I honestly grew to be more passionate myself. You also, if you don't know Kerry, you need to know that Kerry is crazy as fuck. I've seen Kerry run people out of the barn that we were talking about with GCW's Wombat. Is the same barn that I trained him, and I still train him for the best part of 2 years.
Oh God, you train there?
Yo, that's where Crux Wrestling's training is.
Oh shit.
Yeah, that's like home for me, man.
Oh, that place is hell on earth as far as like temperature wise. You must die.
Yeah, it's hot as hell. The ring fucking sucks, but I loved it because it was like so nitty gritty. And I loved that atmosphere. It was just down-home Southern wrestling where, like, we could get really sweaty and I would learn all this technical wrestling and I would learn about, like, character development. And honestly, Undercarry's where I learned a lot of my character and I came into my own as numero uno el Ichiban number one. Like, it all clicked there and it happened there.
So, yeah, Kerry wears his emotions on his sleeve, and Kerry is passionate. Those are the two things I can say about Kerry more than anything else. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And that's the one thing that I love about Kerry, too, is like he's a very hard on his sleeve person. He'll let you know what he thinks and not give a shit about it. But at the same time, like, he still cares. And he's telling you because he cares.
And at the same time you're training, you're getting a lot more opportunities.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about some of the places you've wrestled in the last 2 years or so, because I think you've really broken out in the last 2 years.
Well, I originally met Kerry with through Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment. So, of course, I continued wrestling there for a little while. Through Kerry, I also ended up breaking out more with the Scenic City, events. I did an IWA Mid-South tryout. I wrestled for Next Generation Wrestling in Tennessee, which is a really big one around here. Went up to wrestle in Indiana. Like, I've just gotten to get in the car and go to all these different states. And I've wrestled Evolve tryout. I've had a tryout for the WWN. Got to try out for Reality of Wrestling in Texas. And just really, kind of go all over. And, like, that was what was cool with training with Kerry. It really opened my eyes. And he was like, the only way you're going to get better is by getting on the road and by taking, like, by pretty much eating shit so that way you can eat steak later. Which is one of my favorite quotes that him and Billy Brash has ever told me.
Love Billy.
He's amazing. He's one of the best human beings I know. And, like, I do remember it because he had told me this at the Southern Fried Gaming Expo 2 years ago. He said, remember, Bubba, we eat shit now so that way we can eat steak later. He's like, it's just the cycle. And that has always stuck with me. And whenever I'm, like, kind of, like, down on myself, it just – I think about it. Because that's something that even Kerry's instilled to me. Oh, and another thing that Kerry's told me that's always stuck with me is he says, it was something along the lines of, we work hard, so that way we're not like the rest of them. And that, and to me, like, that's stuck. Like, I don't want to sit there and be, I don't want to be a 40-miler, like, I don't want to be just, like, the local Chattanooga boy. Like, I want to be the guy that's putting this fucking city on my back and putting the state on my back as well, representing it like AJ Gray and representing it like Kerry and Nick do. Like, I want to be on the Mount Rushmore of Tennessee wrestling.
And you had a chance to do that with the Young Lions Cup.
Oh, absolutely, which was another one of the places that, with training under Crux, I was able to be blessed to show up at.
And you even made a little bit far in that tournament too, didn't you? You made it in the second round, didn't you?
I sure did.
Talk about your experience there, because Chikara is a whole different environment.
It's a different beast. It's one of the best opportunities I've ever received, and it really gave me a chance to see what I got. In the first round, I wrestled with Frantic, Airwolf, which if you haven't watched any of his stuff, he's extremely talented.
He's so good.
So good. And Thief Ant. So it was really cool to be in there with one of the ants. But anyways, I kind of came in there with the attitude of, well, I was honestly out of the tournament, I was probably the lesser known because I'm the kid coming from Tennessee. Everyone's not really expecting much from me because whenever they hear Tennessee, they just expect slow, dumb Southern wrestling. And I had to go in there and prove them wrong, which essentially has became my attitude as of late, is just to prove everybody wrong. So, yeah, I went into Chikara, and I guess from people's perspectives and opinions, I killed it. And then I made it to the second round, which, God bless, my body was hurting so bad. Because after that, I wrestled Boomer Hatfield, and that was really fun. I want to wrestle Boomer again really soon because I think we could tell a hell of a story. But after that show, I ended up hopping in a car with Alley Cat and Braden Lee and a few other people that I have no idea who the fuck they were. And I left my girlfriend, I left my mom and sister in Philadelphia, and they understood, luckily, but I had to, like, take an 8-hour ride to Indiana, and that's not even nowhere near home. So I didn't even know if I was going to get home that weekend. And then, luckily, Carrie was in Indiana as well the same day or the next day, and I got to tell Dad what his son got to do, even though he watched it on IWTV, which if you don't have, if you use any of the promo codes, specifically SUPGRAPS, you get 20 free days. You can...
Learn well.
Oh, yeah. You got to plug it, man. I'm trying to work on getting that TWE code. I got to talk to the higher-ups, brother. But, yeah, I then rode back with Carrie, and I crashed on his bed, and I got the study tape. And just pretty much, like, I was worn out. But that was my first time of, like, actually being, like, man, like, that was the first time I ever felt, like, this kind of sucks. Like, I got to experience this with my family for a second, and then, like, I kind of, like, had to, like, go away and, like, go do something else. Like, but at the same time, like, as much as it sucks, I'm glad that I have the support system I do with my family and with my girlfriend because if they weren't that way, it would definitely put a strain on stuff. But... I'm so thankful that they love me enough to be able to say, all right, go on, like, do what you need to do, live your dream.
You have an amazing support system, and I hope you realize that. Yeah, you have better than 99.999% of people in this business. You have a support system of people who really care about you, not just your family and your girlfriend, but, like, the whole damn city. And, well, speaking of that, coming up, you're on the rise, and you're on the rise, and you're on the rise, and... you're killing it in SUP as well. And now coming up is kind of the Jade Newman weekend.
Yeah. It's the Proving Ground. This is the end of the Proving Ground series in my mind.
Talk about this coming next weekend.
I know one thing.
What does this mean to you?
Oh, God. Everything. And I know it sounds pretty cliche to say, but... this is my chance to sit there and show that I'm not just some, like, local kid that they threw into this tournament because they needed a local spot filled. I'm not that local spot to be filled. I'm going in with the attitude that I'm Jaden fucking Newman, and it's time to fucking prove it to everyone that didn't give me the time of fucking day whenever I first started. The people that said that I would never make it to a Scenic City Invitational, because that was true. Like, whenever I said that in my interview that I put out before Showdown for Parnell, that was absolutely true. Josh Massey, who was a part of the booking committee at the time, straight up looked at me and said, you don't have it. I don't think you'll ever be in a SCI. So.
He ain't there no more.
I mean, and now I'm going in, so what does that say?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying nothing bad about Josh at all, but I'm just saying, whenever you sit there and tell me I can't do something, motherfucker, I'm going to bust it out the park. Because now I feel like I have a lot to carry going into this. Because not only is it a tournament, like one of the biggest tournaments in the U.S. and in the Southeast happening in Chattanooga, it's happening in my backyard of Saudi Daisy, a place that I graduated from. So not only am I wrestling for, like, the city and for people that haven't seen me before, I'm wrestling for, like, my family that, like, and some family that hasn't even seen me wrestle ever. And not only that, I'm celebrating my 6th year in professional wrestling that weekend. August 3rd, night 2 is my 6-year anniversary. And not only am I having to prove myself right and prove people wrong, I'm having to show and prove to the people that have supported me that I am everything and more of what they expect out of me. I'm doing this for Carrie. I'm doing this for Grandbud. I'm doing this for I'm doing this for Tennessee wrestling, and to show that, and to show that Joey Lynch isn't the only fucking face of Chattanooga.
That's what I want to hear, man. That's what I want to hear. Because I mean, yeah, it's. I teared up when you got the spot in Scenic City because I knew what it meant to you, and I knew, everything that had gone into it. And you did too, and you know, being near your mom, and you know, talking to Cheyenne, and just it was the coolest moment, and I can't wait for it to culminate, you know, in a few days now, you know, with you actually being in the tournament and ripping it up.
I mean, I'm gonna be honest, I may end up crying again, and it may happen as soon as I hit the curtain, but I know one thing, like, win, lose, or draw. Actually, fuck it. Like, I have to win. Like, if I don't win, like, it's going to be kind of a back to the drawing board situation. But either way, I'm coming in to leave my mark on fucking Scenic City Invitational and fucking Tennessee wrestling. And after that, we're about to put in some fucking work. And this next weekend's about to be putting in fucking work.
And no, Scenic City isn't the only thing you're doing next weekend, too.
No.
You got Crux and you got Sup, right?
Yeah. I have Crux Wrestling's Hey Jealousy on August 1st. And before that, I'm also doing a B-Boy seminar. I'm also going to be doing seminars that weekend. So I'll be kind of busy with wrestling.
And with John Brand.
Oh, exactly, dude. I got to keep fucking growing. I got to keep, like, I can't just sit there and be like, okay, and content. I got to keep growing. So I'm doing the B-Boy seminar before Crux, and then I'm going to wrestle Sage Phillips for the Crux Tri-States Championship. So Daddy's going to be walking in the SDI with a brand new shiny title.
And then Sunday you have your long feud finally culminate against Manders.
Oh, fuck that prick. he's a fucking cock.
He's a cock. At Southern Underground Pro in Nashville on Sunday the 3rd. You'll be going against Manders in your long-standing feud.
Yeah. The motherfucker sat there and said that if I couldn't win a match, I couldn't get him. So what do? I fucking interject myself in a match and I win. Because fuck that dude. He wants to sit there and try to treat me like I ain't done shit. But fuck, man. Like, you're not going to sit there and disrespect me. And that's one thing I hate is bullying, considering I grew up with it. That motherfucker's a bully, and I'm going to make sure that goddamn dude gets shut down. Like, I'm not fucking dealing with it. If I have to beat his, like, he's not ready for it. He's not fucking ready for Jake.
He's a giant refrigerator of a man, though.
I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. I face people way bigger. I face people fucking smaller that could probably hit me fucking harder than him. But size doesn't matter. All right, he better have a fucking strategy of this other than sticking his thumb up his ass and walking out there thinking that's going to be easy peasy. Fuck that motherfucker.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. So, Jaden, you have the Jaden Newman weekend coming up. You've had a hell of a career. You got a hell of a story. You're a hell of a guy, man. You've become a great friend over the last couple of years, and you are very easy to root for. Where can we find you on social media and plug your shit, man?
All right, let's do this. So, in case y'all haven't noticed, by the way, and you will find this if you follow me through social media, which I hope you do, you can find me on Facebook at Jaden Newman Official. That is Jaden Newman, J-A-D-E-N. No Y whatsoever. And whenever you follow me, you will see that I have released the first Scenic City Weekend t-shirt pre-order, which will be exclusive to Southern Underground Pro. Everyone knows I'm always ready, and I hope you are too, because the Jaden fucking Newman shirt has arrived. And the pre-order is $25.
That's all right. That's great.
Oh, but you can find that through, You can find that through Jaden Newman Dash Official and on Twitter and Instagram at Jaden For Real, J-A-D-E-N, no Y whatsoever. And no, I am not the female basketball player, so do not fucking ask.
So Jaden For Real, and do you have Instagram or anything like that?
I do. My Instagram is the same thing. It's Jaden For Real. Same with Snapchat and all that. You can see me posting dumb things on there. Mainly me working out or me hanging out with my cats and my girlfriend, so it's fun.
Seems bad. Awesome. Well, we are rooting for you, man. We can't wait to see you at Scenic City. And you have TWE this coming weekend as well, correct?
I do. I have KFW in Sevierville, Tennessee, where I'll be wrestling Sean Hoodrich on Friday. Saturday, I'll be at TWE, and then right after my match, I got to shoot up to Washington, D.C. for Primetime Pro Wrestling, where I can get me another shiny title against that that cuck bro Keller.
That's what, Sunday?
Yeah.
Sunday Primetime Pro Wrestling. So you got a busy, busy schedule. Jaden, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Greatly appreciate it, my friend, and we look forward to seeing you at Scenic City.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you.
Thanks, brother. Bye. When you